Father once told his son about the community where he grew up and the church where he attended, the church building. And so he took the little boy, as we're prone to do, to go back to where we came from, the good old days. He took his little boy back to that area, and they went to the church building, but found that it was locked. It was boarded up, I guess you would say. They looked in the windows, and the man saw this bell in there, and the little boy saw it. It had a long rope on it, and the man told the little boy that back at the time he attended, it was his job to ring that bell, to summons the people of the community to church. And the little boy looked up at his father at that time. He said, "Dad said, let's ring it again. Let's ring it again." And the father looked around, found somebody had a key, and to the building, opened it up, and a lot of people came when they did ring that bell again. They rang it several times. Of course, a little boy would ring it a number of times. But they rang that bell, and a lot of people came just to see what was happening, see what was going on. And long story short, the little boy said, "Well, why don't we, you know, get the people together and open up this building and meet in it again?" And they did, the story goes. And how we wish today that someone could go out through the communities and ring a bell. And ring the bell. To call to worship those who once knew God, but who have fallen away and are not as faithful and not faithful to God anymore. To ring it again. To ring it again. To those who know there is a God but have never studied God's Word and never confessed the name of Christ before men. Ring it again. Ring it again. To those of us who may be slack, who may have one time committed ourselves to Christ and have been slack in our worship, slack in the way we live, the way we treat one another, the way we talk. Ring it again. Ring it again. Last week we began the first of a number of lessons that we want to have on the subject of worship. Why do we worship? Last week we looked at a statement Jesus made to Satan. Not too long after the opening of his ministry, I guess right at the beginning, after he'd been baptized, after God, the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," Jesus immediately went into the wilderness, Matthew says, for 40 days, 40 nights, and was tempted of Satan. And to one of those temptations Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Matthew 4. To the woman at the well, Jesus had said that, the hour comes when God will not be worshipped in your mountains that you say your people worship in, or in Jerusalem. Time will come when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we find that when the early church began, in the book of Acts we have the history of that. And as the church began, worship was prominently mentioned in that group of people. The Bible says in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Psalmist of long ago, looking at his life and remembering his God, he said, "You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord." Someone has said this, as I guess they thought pensively about worship. They said to worship is to feed the mind on the truths of God. To quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. to cleanse the conscience with the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to vote the will to the purpose of God. Last week we mentioned Isaiah, as he was a prophet of God, and as God was speaking to him, Isaiah came face to face with God. He saw God. He saw God high and lifted up. He saw God as he was, and he saw himself as he was without God and in sin, hopeless. Then he talks about seeing himself there in Isaiah 6, seeing himself with God, cleansed and made whole. And God spoke and said, who will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, I will go. And God told him to go tell the people that's your purpose. Go tell the people. Seeing God high and lifted up. That's the way we need to see God as we worship God, as we come before Him with reverence. We'll look at some motives or some reasons that we worship. Most of us have read of other civilizations. I've read of a number of times in some Western books, I've read about the Indians. Most people, as discover some of these civilizations of archaeology, they find that there was always worship involved with the people that the civilization they find. Now, it may not be the true worship, and in many times it was not. But they had a central element in their daily lives in which they looked up to a higher power, someone greater than themselves. A lot of it was the result of fear. A lot of it was the result of uncertainty. And so they created in their minds many times gods to protect them, gods to keep them from harm. And many times they didn't show adoration to those gods. They didn't show respect to those gods. They worshiped what they thought would appease the gods. We remember about the children of Israel being down in Egypt and the many gods that they have and how they were attacked by the plagues. The psalmist David saw a different motive for worshiping God, and a number of his psalms deal with how he saw God, how he worshiped God, and what he thought about his words many times as he spoke to God. Psalm 19 comes to mind. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Can you look outside at night and see the stars? I was thinking some time back as they were talking about Pluto no longer being a planet. It's amazing what trivialities we deal with it. Pluto no longer a fat planet. Where are you going to go when you die? Where's your eternal home going to be? Oh, sometimes we major in minors, don't we? Some lady gave $10 million and she's going to be the first civilian woman to go up into space. Hallelujah. She accomplished a great thing, hadn't she? You gave somebody $10 million. So you're going to see what God has seen and what David saw when he was out there tending his sheep. She's just going to be a little bit closer. God knew about Pluto and whether it ought to be a planet or not. And there may be others way, way out there. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line goes out throughout all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. One of the primary functions that David said that was his motive in worshiping was to show adoration to God. to show that he appreciated what God had done. It was God who created us and not we ourselves. And why should we get all big-headed because we've suddenly come to the conclusion that Pluto is no longer a planet? Somebody said next they'd be taking Mickey Mouse's dog away from him, renaming that dog Pluto to something else. There's times we deal in trivialities. We deal in trivialities. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul opens the letter, a letter in which he speaks of the superiority of Christ's church throughout the six chapters. He uses one expression three different times. One expression. He uses it in verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14. Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. We just praised God, didn't we? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Appreciate the way that John led us in those songs, and always leads us. Our songs, and Jerry and others that lead. And the way that we joined in. We were praising God. Don't you feel better when you sing that song? To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 14, 12, rather, of Ephesians 1. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What you trying to say, Paul? Get to the point. No, he's praising God. He gives God the praise. Oh, Paul did a number of things. He did many things. He saw himself as the chief of sinners, though, didn't he? And he saw God as one who was to be praised, who was to be adored, and that we were to show that. So a central purpose of our being here is to show appreciation to God for our being here. For being who we are, and for the promise of eternal life that he's given us in Christ. We mentioned last week John's picture of heaven in John chapter 4. We read a few verses, but I want to look again at a lot of part of that chapter. We find in Revelation chapter 4, as Jesus reveals certain things to John there on the Isle of Patmos. In the first part of that chapter, he talks about, he says he looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. What did you see, John? I saw a throne. And I saw one who was sitting up on the throne. And I saw a sea of glass. I saw 24 elders around worshiping. I saw these four beasts around worshiping. And what else was happening? Let's look at verses 8 through 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings, and about them they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night. You know, sometimes we get all involved in why were there four? Why did they have six wings? Why were they full of eyes? And we overlook what they were saying. They were saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. A heavenly scene. God upon his throne. Sounds like Isaiah, doesn't it? God was upon his throne. And those around the throne were showing that God was due the glory. They were praising God. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Many times we have things too good in this country. I know I hear some folks saying, well, I want to give my kids everything that I didn't have when I was growing up. Well, I look back and maybe didn't have, and you probably look back too, some of you are older, look back and say, you know, we didn't have a whole lot. But, you know, at the time, I didn't know we didn't have a whole lot. I'm glad somebody didn't tell me. I might have been fussing because I didn't get food stamps. Then I'd have to eat all that junk food that they'd give you instead of growing it in a garden. I know there's times when we have to have assistance. But there are also times when we're supposed to pick ourselves up. We're supposed to help ourselves and look to God who gave it to us and be thankful and glorify God. Ring it again. Ring it again, the little boy would say. Another purpose, in addition to glorifying God, another purpose that is served by our worship is it satisfies our need, doesn't it? It satisfies a need. I wish more people would come on Wednesday night, because I figure more people need it. More people need it. A lot of places now don't even meet on Wednesday night. I'll look at the sign outside, and they won't be meeting on Sunday morning. Won't even meet for Bible study. Folks, quit coming. Just meet for worship. What would happen here if the elders said, you know, we just don't have enough folk coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night for Bible study, and we got to cool that building, we got to eat, we got to cut costs, so there's within each of us a need for God, a need to worship God, a need to recognize that there's someone who's high and lifted up. You know, one day, I picture us as being around the throne with those 24 elders. Do I like to sing now? Do I like to praise God now? Am I going to be satisfied doing that all the time? You know, we've accomplished a whole lot. I know when we were in school, we had to study the inventions. I don't even know how kids would even keep up with all things being invented this day and age. They probably have to have a half a dozen history classes to keep up with everything that's happened over the last century, the last 50 years. So we've accomplished much, but little compared to the one who created it all. We're still seeing things out there that God accomplished, that God created, that we didn't even know about. An unknown writer wrote this. He said, religion is the first thing and the last thing, and until a man has found God and been found of God, he begins at no beginning and he works to no end. Why are we sometimes dissatisfied? Why are we sometimes just, we don't feel like we've accomplished what we need to accomplish in life? The writer of that statement went on to say that man may have his friendships, his partial loyalties, his scraps of honor, but all these things fall into place and life falls into place only with God. We exist for God. We exist for God. All people. We have that desire to express gratitude. Now, you probably look at some people, and I have maybe. They're saying that, you know, that person is just not grateful for what they have. You know, they need to be thankful for what they got. A lot of times, as I talk to folks that I visit, that's the thing that they say is they're grateful for what they have. They're grateful for the memories they have of their life. Their life with their husband, their life with their wife, their parents, their life with their children. That they're happy with that. They're grateful for that. Have you ever received a gift from someone and at first you didn't have an opportunity to thank them right then? Somebody maybe handed it to you and that person that gave it wasn't there. Don't you kind of feel a little off-center? I always want to try to find that person because I'm off balance. I want to thank that person for what they've done. And on a far deeper level, until we can express our thanks to God, which really is at the heart of our worship, isn't it? Giving thanks to God, being thankful. A lot of times when I used to lead singing, Brother John, and maybe you've done this over years, to the extent possible, I would begin with a song of praise when it would come together. A song of praise. So we could get our minds focused, you know, on what we were thinking about. Why we were there. Because, you know, it's good to meet with one another. We fellowship one another. We talk with one another. But there comes a point in when it's God and it's me. Oh, we pray a united prayer. But my mind needs to be in tune with God. I need to be praising God. I don't need to sit and say, boy, that choir sings good. They're really praising God. See, I have that need. We need to do that. In everything, give thanks. Apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. A lot of times we'll pray, God help thy will be done in our lives. Well, God's will is that you thank Him. That we be thankful for all things. And you know, I have to help that prayer to be answered. It's difficult to let the will of God be done in my life if I don't know it. In everything give thanks. This is one thing I need to know. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. And I think it was evidenced by the turmoil in our country after 9/11. I don't have to say what year. Don't have to say what that's not 9/11. 9/11 has a meaning, doesn't it? To a lot of people, it meant, boy, we're vulnerable. This country is vulnerable. We're not secure. Well, guess what? We weren't secure before then if we didn't have God. We can be secure only when we know God. If we're seeking that security in life, if we're seeking safety, if we have a troubled spirit and a troubled mind, we need to seek God. Worship is a refuge in time of plenty, in time of trouble, in time of sorrow. I don't relish the idea that I would have to face some of the illnesses that I've seen people face if I was without God. We need Him every hour. We need Thee every hour. We sing it. We do. We need it. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul writing to this beloved church from the city of Rome, from his incarceration there, said, in nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. We lost that peace as far as thinking of peace, as far as war, terrorism, whatever. We lost that. We lost our innocence on 9/11. We lost our security. We're more involved with the problem of our borders, of our ports. Boy, Well, there's no way to secure all those borders. Somebody was talking about it the other day. Said we got 2,000 miles of borders with Mexico, and somebody's talking about building a wall for 700 feet, or 700 yards, or 700 miles. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, Paul, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, in a psalm that David wrote that speaks of his closeness to God. David had time to think, didn't he? You know, a lot of times we don't take time to think. Sometimes it's good that we have a long commute to work, or that we got some time on our hands at home. We need time to think. When do we pray? We can pray in the morning, pray at the noontime, pray anytime, nighttime, pray anytime. Pray on the way to work. Pray on the way to visiting somebody. The psalmist, the shepherd boy, spent many a night looking into the skies, spent many a day looking for sheep that would go astray, would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We need to read that and say that more than just at the time somebody passes away. The Lord is my shepherd right now, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, that's where the sheep wanted to lay down. He leadeth me beside the still waters, not those rippling waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives me guidance. And you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. 911s, borders, ports, weapons of mass destruction. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. One day the telephone rang in the church office. This was a church where President Delano Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, attended church. And the caller said to the preacher who had answered the phone, said, you tell me, do you expect the president to be there at church this morning? And the preacher told him, said, "Well, I can't tell you for sure. I can't promise you that, but we do expect God to be here. And we expect to have a reasonably large crowd, and that'll be incentive enough that God is here. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Like the little boy who was so enthused about getting into that old church building, about ringing that bell, let us ring it again in our own lives. If we need to have something to come to our attention, let us ring it as a congregation. The bell will still ring. The building to my heart can still be opened up if it's closing. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're here this morning and you haven't come to Christ in the past, why not come to Christ this morning? If you've studied with someone about Christ, you've studied on your own, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why not confess that this morning? Come in repenting of your sins to be baptized that those sins might be washed away. To rise in newness of life, to worship God. to be steadfast with other Christians in fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, and the doctrine of God's Word. If you're here as a Christian, you desire prayers or you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that as we stand and sing? Oh.